Okay, this morning, Gary and Mary Kate are both in Israel and got a text saying that they're supposed to be doing about 3 miles a day. Well, yesterday, I guess they did 5.5. And Gary's asking that we would pray for his hip because he was in pain before they left. And so anyway, we will go ahead and pray for his hip, but remember him throughout the day. Today, we are going to do communion, and we do this in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if it were not for the promise that Jesus made in John 14, that if I do not go, the Holy Spirit cannot come and be in you. It is better for you that I go, because the Holy Spirit who is with you will be in you. And without that Holy Spirit in us, we don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because the person of the Holy Spirit is the one that is the proof of our relationship with Jesus. And I wanted to read something from The Forgotten God by Francis Chan. And it's about the Holy Spirit. It says, the Christian life in all aspects, intellectual and ethical, devotional, relational, upsurging in worship and outpouring in witness, is supernatural. Only the Spirit can initiate and sustain it. So apart from him, not it, the Holy Spirit is not an it, the Holy Spirit is a person. So apart from him, not only will there be no lively believers and no lively congregations, there will be no believers and no congregations at all. So that's why this morning, as we worship and as we praise God the Father and God the Son, it is only because of the power that is in the Holy Spirit that he lives through us that we are able to do that. Now, part of a lively relationship is a good prayer life. That's part of what we should have. Now, this week I had three people, one who is here in this congregation, one from my family and one from a friend, that they requested prayer. And the one from here, I sent him a text back that had a scripture verse in it that I always pray and always use when I pray for people. And I want you to write this down if you're serious about your prayer life. It's Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. That's about our relationship. That's about who he is. It's about what he does in us and through us. And it talks about the power of God the Father Almighty. So when you read that, when you start your prayers with that, that's good. And there's another one that's really quick. If something happens and you are in trouble, like right now, it's Psalm 50, 15. And that says, you will call on me in your time of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. 50, 15. I call that my emergency 911 phone number. It's never busy. And he picks it up before the phone rings, because he is waiting for us to call. And then there's one more that I want to read to you, because you can ask and it will be done. Okay? And this is Romans 8, 26 through 27. This, my friends and my brothers and sisters, is so powerful. It says, in the same way, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know how we should pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came, you lived, you died, you resurrected, then you ascended. And then you sent us the Holy Spirit. This morning, as we worship and praise you, may we come to the realization that our relationship with you is individually assigned, created by you for us to do the works that you have created in advance for us to accomplish. We don't have to figure anything out, Lord. You've already got it done. And we thank you for that. We praise you and glorify you. Lord, this morning, may we walk in a new revelation and a new relationship, a new allowing you to live your life through us attitude as we encounter the people that you put in our path. And we thank you for the privilege of being allowed to join you when we take the holy sacraments. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, good morning. Well, if I could ask all those that are able to please stand. And we need, exactly. Mark, you're welcome to lean if you'd like. And we're going to use our 10-stringed instruments today to get some clapping going. So, Stan, why don't you get us started here? We'll get into gear. And are you washed in the blood?
Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will the robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the man? Sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. is a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
That's right, keep those clapping going. Here we go.
Oh, some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a land on God's celestial shore.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your saving grace. Thank you for your love. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, your sacrifice, we praise you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, Messiah.
Messiah, Lord of all our hope. sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Jesus Messiah.
Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
One more time. Oh,
Jesus Messiah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are Lord of all. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord.
Well, you said you may be seated, so I started to sit down.
That's great.
Yeah. Thanks, man. If I can put this up just a smidge over. Awesome, you're the man. A special person. All right. Okay. Hello. Good morning. Now, are we doing communion first or afterwards? Gary usually tells me what to do. It's up to you. Okay, so no problem. Communion it is. I will sit back down. Ignore me, like you usually do. Oh, that's terrible.
Thank you, Lord. George, if we could get the guitar on for some nice little background music. If we could get the guitar going there for some nice background music. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When I was asked to facilitate the communion, and actually, guys, if you could start passing out a while, or passing the communion out, not actually passing out, but... and as a point of instruction... when you all take the bread and the cup, if you could wait, because today we'd like to take it all together at one time, so I'll instruct you in that time. But one of the things that is always a caution when we're talking about communion is that it doesn't become just another habit, just another ritual, just another thing that we do. We play three songs, sit down and listen to the pastor, and that's the service. It really is something that we need to be looking at our hearts and asking God to purify us. And we're admonished in Corinthians by Paul. If I could read this straight out of the, I believe it's the NIV. Yes, the NIV. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23, and we're going 23 through 31. For I received from the Lord what is also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, do this. Whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So this is a reminder for us. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner, we are guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself. Of course, that's man or woman. That's all of us. A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. For anyone who drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among us are weak and are sick, and a number of us have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves,
we would not come under this judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined, for we will not be condemned with the world. This is this portion as far as being sick. This can be physical sickness, and it also can be spiritual sickness. So, and it can be a physical death, or it can be a spiritual death. So before we partake of the bread and we partake of the cup, I encourage you all to examine yourself and ask God, Lord God, forgive us. Forgive us of our sins. Purify our hearts. Purify our minds. Let's do that right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, we thank you for your body that was broken. We thank you that by your stripes we are healed. We thank you for the healing of our bodies in both spirit and in health and in physical. In Jesus' name, you may partake of the bread. Father God, we do thank you for your blood. We thank you for your blood that was shed. We thank you for the saving power of your blood. We thank you that we are washed in the blood of the Lamb, the one time, the final sacrifice you made for us. Lord Jesus, we love you. We praise you. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our trespasses. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us to forgive those around us trespassed against us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We take your blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, we thank you and praise you. Thank you, Lord God, you are real. I'm reminded of that every day. You are real. This is not a storybook that is told. This is not a Disney story as we hear, or a fairy tale. This is a real historical fact, truth. Thank you for loving us right where we are. Thank you for loving us enough to not leave us there, but to bring us out of the muck and the mire and the sin and the shame. And you clothe us with righteousness. Father God, to you be praise this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you, Lord. You still may be seated.
Now I'm allowed to talk, is that correct?
Amen.
Okay.
Now we can speak.
Okay, this guitar is making me nervous, so. All right. Okay. So before I forget, North River Care Center is desperate. They need some things. They need some diapers. If anybody's interested, their pregnancy center that we support. I don't know if Laura's here today, but I know Betty is here. But they need diapers, sizes 3, 4, and 5. They need boxes of baby wipes. They need baby bottles. They need lots of baby wash and baby shampoo. And what they do is they provide an alternative source for young girls or women who want to have an abortion, a place where they can have their babies and be provided with a lot of the things that they need. And so if you're interested in donating and giving, Betty is somewhere in here because I know Laura is not. Betty is right there. Would you raise your hand, Betty? Okay, so if you have any of that or would like to donate some finances or some things, she can tell you how to get in contact with them. And we just want to make sure that we mention that before we even get started. Let's see what else we got. Okay, so a few announcements before we get started. First, I'd like to thank you folks for praying that I find my Bible. It was in a, like, you know those little old-time grocery bags, you know, that with a bunch of other stuff? Yes, it was in it and just cast off in a corner. I must have threw it in there just to, and it got put in the, and so anyway, yes, the whole time. I've searched everywhere, and I didn't find it. My wife did. So, but I do attribute it to the prayers of the saints. So thank you guys for praying, and I just appreciate your hearts, and thank you for doing that for us. And so, yes, I wanted to mention that first off. Also, please pray for St. Victor. I know he's in pain as well right now. There's tons of free Panera bread and loaves back there. You guys know that. Bagels all free in Jesus' name. I think we still have tons of those green bags somewhere back there. Yep, back there. So just grab a bag. You can fill it up and then reuse that bag every time you come here. Just take it free in Jesus' name. Receive tithes and offerings in the back. You guys already know that. Again, pray for our CYIA missionary teams, those kids that are being trained up to be missionaries and sharers of the gospel. Again, pray for the new believers, because if you guys remember when you first got saved, when you first got baptized, let me tell you, you were hammered by the enemy. If you got saved, for real, you know it. Now take a look just in here today. Some of these peoples are here and some they're not. Now maybe they're sick, maybe they're away. This is not a condemnation thing. This is simply to say, huh, I haven't seen them this week. Huh, I didn't see them at the Bible study. Huh, I didn't see them last week. So that you may be praying for them. They need your prayers. Amen? Amen. So please pray. And welcome back, Connie, too. We love you very much.
Hey, Darren.
Mm-hmm.
If any of those people that...
Oh, thank you. That's good.
Any of the people that haven't been here for a while, if
yes.
someone has their phone number,
call
them and give them a word of encouragement.
Yes.
Tell them they're missed. Tell them that we are stronger with them than without them.
Yes. And if you don't have their number, you can text me, and I'll text you their number. So please, encourage them, pray for them. They need it right now, probably almost now more than ever. Okay, so also, here's a picture of Gary. We've been texting daily. And this is a picture of Gary's leading devotionals. He's actually on the Sea of Galilee, leading devotionals. Isn't that cool? And so, and I know Mark already told you to pray for him because he's feeling mighty sore. So, okay, so he sent me a picture of him and his wife, right? And I said, Gare, I said, why don't you, I'll put it up. Why don't you give me a picture? I said, but you guys need to be, I said, where are those big smiles? Laugh out loud because they're in a lot of pain. And I said, okay, he goes, okay, I'll send you one and this will be a lot better. Okay, so here you go. Here's a, there. Look at those smiles, huh? He's like, how's this one? It's great, Gary. Perfect. Just perfect. He's like, I'm having such a great time. It's so great. It's all, I'm in pain, but it's so awesome. And I went here, went there. Send me a smiley picture. Okay. So, but anyway, so please pray for them, and they're doing well. So they just want to encourage you guys. They're really excited about what they're learning and doing over there, and they can't wait to come back and share it with you guys. And so I'm excited for them, but keep them in prayer. Don't forget prayer meetings Sunday mornings here at 9 a.m. Also, the women's Bible study, second and fourth Tuesdays. Now, is that? This week, okay, and the women's after that. Okay, so in 2 weeks, that's going to start, the women's Bible study, Living Beyond Yourself. I don't think Eric is here today to share, but we'll have her do it next Sunday. Men's Bible study is this Tuesday at 6 p.m. dinner. Okay, yes, I'm going to ask, what are we having for dinner?
Bratwurst.
Good, bratwurst, I like it. And who's teaching? Can I ask you that too?
Is he here? Oh, there he is.
Scott, you're teaching? That's awesome, really? Cool, okay. All right, I'll be there for sure now. It's not just for the brats, I want you to know, Scott. Not just for the brats. Okay, also the Whosoever is Youth Group, also 6:30 to 8:30. And I don't know if Josh and Amanda are here. It's the first month or something. Okay, are they here? Are they here? Oh, they're over there. Man, I got to tell you, somebody, they're not here, so they're not going to get to hear it. But it was so powerful with the youth. As when I came out they had said the Lord had put something special on their heart for the youth, and they came out, and even just the kids that I was taking home, honestly, it spurred conversation for like at least an hour of what God spoke through them. And so, you know, just encourage them. They need your prayers too, but help me to, if I see them, go see Pastor Darren. He wants to encourage you. I just want to say what a great job they're doing. Also, The Forgotten God, 6:30 to 8. We still have a couple books left. If you want to come, you need to read through chapter 4. So that's Thursday night, 6:30 to 8. And we'll announce that when Gary gets back. Also, that video, do we have that one okay? Yes? Hit a button? Okay. Some of the people missed the video and asked to see this. We had an end-of-year program. This isn't from the end-of-year program. This is from the field trip. But we had an end-of-year program this last week, and the place was just jam-packed with people, and the kids did such an amazing job, what they learned and what they did, and it was just an absolutely awesome, awesome award ceremony and orientation. But this is from the trip because I wanted to share just one quick thing from it, okay? Sorry.
Turn my whole life around. But still it's hard to let go of the wheel. No one ever showed me how. Maybe this time you can take the lead, and I won't try to pull you by the sleeve. Because every time I think that I know better, my way. So God, what you wanna do today? You are the King of heaven and earth. All of creation bows. I give you my heart for all that it's worth. I'm at your service now. Wanna guess just what you need, trying to honor my vow. Maybe this time you can take the lead, and I won't try to pull you by the sleeve. Because every time I think that I know better, I lose my way. So God, what you wanna do today?
Praise the Lord. So I just want to say thank you, too, because without you guys giving and being here, that school would not exist. There's no way it could exist. So we're so thankful and grateful for every one of you. And even the folks that were here last year, what a blessing, too. And it's just exciting. So, and I want to hand out this because we ran out last time. If you missed Gary's teaching on forgiveness in Matthew 18, it was probably one of the most complete teachings, probably one of his best teachings. It was definitely an anointed time here. There are times when I feel like the Holy Spirit was just like speaking and moving, and that was a day for it. So if you did not get that teaching on forgiveness and any part that was lacked, honestly, it's like the Lord spoke and filled in the gaps. And so I'm so sorry if you missed that. But God wants to put that message into your hand, free, no charge, except for Diane and Connie. Then there's a charge. But other than that, other than you two, anybody else want one? Okay, would you like one, Bob? Bobby, okay. Anybody else? Bueller, going once? Yep, Dale, you got it.
And this is on the website as well.
It is on the website, homefellowshipchurch.com. Anybody? Bueller? Okay, you got it. Okay. Fantastic. All right. That is such a great teaching. All right, well, we are in the book of James. So if you would open your Bibles all the way to James chapter 3. Woo-hoo! So we are just continuing to move right along at warp factor 9. If you need a Bible, Chris, could you grab a few over here? that's a Gamera. Gamera speed. Okay, also, listen, a few people had asked for this because we always hand out resources. If anybody wants for the summer, this is called a My Time with God. It's a New Testament for busy people. If anyone would like one of these who has not gotten one, it'll take you through the entire New Testament in 1 year with little questions. It's just a daily reading, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It'll just take you through the New Testament with some Old Testament passages and some little notes each day from Beth Moore and Billy Graham and, you know, Moody and anybody else. Anybody else? Okay. You got it. You'll love it. You will love it. And you'll know more than most people in Christendom. Now, if anybody does not, as a good reader, why do we give away so much stuff? Listen, when Jesus enters a heart, he changes a life. And when Jesus changes a life, and then as the word gets in you, right, and you become stronger, as its roots go down deep, right, you get planted by streams of living water, it yields its fruit in season, man, you want other people to be well-rooted in the word too, so they're not blown around by every wind of doctrine. If anybody does not, maybe reading's not the best thing for you. I listen to stuff, teachings all the time. This is the Bible on audio. If you will listen to it, I will give it to you as a gift free in Jesus' name. All right? It is CD. Now, we do have one. Nate sent me the link today, and somebody was supposed to help me with my phone, but they rescheduled for Tuesday so that everybody starts getting the texts again. I'm just going to wait for that for Tuesday. Okay, so who wants one? Okay, you got it? Da-da-da? Okay, you want, was that you? You want one? Yeah? Good, I love that. Love it. Love it. Receive it in Jesus' name. We just want you to grow. Because listen, if you grow in the word and you become more rooted and stable and grounded, you're going to help others to be rooted and stable and grounded. It'll just naturally, supernaturally, naturally happen. So we want to do that for you. Okay. Oh, can you? You can, may have the last one. This one or the time with God? That one? Okay, good. You are welcome. Receive it in Jesus' name as a gift from the church. The church body. So just thank everybody if you get one of those. All right, so we are in James chapter 3. We just finished James chapter 2, where we talked a lot about faith, and we learned what faith is and what faith isn't. Faith is not confidence to speak into existence whatever I want for me, because it's not all about me. Faith is the confidence to believe and trust and obey whatever he wants for us. That's what true faith is. That's what biblical faith is. We talked about three kind of faiths that we saw in James chapter 2 as we were finishing out that chapter. We saw a dead faith, where faith without any actions or works is dead. You can talk about Jesus, you can come to church all you want, but like Mark said, unless there's been a supernatural change in you, the Bible says, unless you are born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. And so unless that's happened, there's no change. And it says faith without works is dead. True faith is going to produce works in your life. It's going to change the way you think. It's going to change the way you speak. It's going to change the way you give. It's going to change the way you live. Everything in your life. The parenting, your marriage, it will eventually change everything. That's what true faith does. And then we talked about demonic faith. We talked about how it says that the demons believe in God. You know, whoop-de-doo. Demons believe that he's coming. They believe in Jesus. They understand who he is. They even will bend their knee to him. They even submit to his authority. They know he's coming again. They understand all that. They're not atheists. But what it says is they don't submit to him willingly. See, that's what, as a Christian, I serve and love the Lord. Not because I have to, because my church makes me, my parents make me, my husband makes me, my wife makes me. I serve the Lord because I just love him out of a thankful heart. That's where the fruit grows. That's where it's refreshing, and that's where the life comes in, okay? So we can say we believe in God, or hey, I raised my hand when I was 7 or 5 or 30 or said a few words, but it's the willing heart demonstrated. Lord, I want to serve you, even when it's hard. So we don't want to have a dead faith. We don't want to have a demonic faith. We want to have a dynamic faith. And that's a real living faith that results in that changed life. So that's where we finished off last week in James chapter 2 on faith. And we know that we're read and known and read by everyone. So not just by our words, but even more so by our actions. Now we're going to talk about words. Now this is an area that's very difficult for all of us, is the tongue. So I got to turn to James chapter myself. The tongue is can really bless people, and your mouth can really rip people to shreds. Isn't that true? Yeah. Can I get an amen? Yeah. So let's start, and we'll read off in this section. I'm just going to read the whole thing, and then we'll just go through verse by verse. Does that sound good? Okay, so James chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Are you with me? Okay. James chapter 3, verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man and able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses and make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. It makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Zoinks. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. I'd underline that, no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. And then it closes out this section with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praising and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Wow. The Bible has so much to say for us on the topic of the tongue. And I'm sure when James is looking back over his life, right? Remember, he's a half-brother of Jesus, right? Kind of grew up with him. At one point, his family, Jesus is working miracles and driving out demons and preaching the gospel. And his family gets around him in the Gospel of John. And they say, listen, Jesus, we don't know what you're doing, you know, but we all think you're crazy. Yeah, you think he's crazy? Oh, yeah, he's crazy. He's crazy. This is the same James that's devoted, realizing later, after he died and rose again from the dead, that he is Emmanuel, God with us.
And that's the Holy Spirit inside of him.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit that we have inside of us.
Absolutely. And so now I think James knows. He's saying, man, I said dumb stuff. I think of before I was saved. I grew up in church. But can I tell you, I could talk a lot of religion stuff, but I probably talked more people out of the Lord and off of the direction of the Lord than I. That's just what I did. It was terrible. And so I think James is realizing, man, I've used some of those words poorly. And now here he is, the leader in the church, as you see it in Acts. And he starts off, listen, he's like in verse 1, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers or sisters, because you know that we who teach, which means he must have been a teacher too, will be judged more strictly. Zoinks! Okay, that tells me two things. The Bible says, too much is given, much has been required. Much will be required. Listen, there are people, I got my Bible back, so happy. It's a $9 Bible, but you know, it's my $9 Bible. And it's everything God has spoken to me through my whole life. Thank you, Lord. It's precious to me. And I use it to teach all the time. And But it says that if we who teach will be judged more strictly. Listen, there are people in many countries that just to get a time with God, that we gave out today for free, the New Testament for free, they would give a right arm just to have one Bible for their family. Or it on audio so that they could listen to it in their own language. I mean, just to have a Bible study, just to meet together like this. In some countries, you would be put in prison, tortured, or killed. That's the reality for most of the world. You guys, God has chosen you and me, why I don't know, to be given this gift. You guys can listen to teachings. You can go on homefellowshipchurch.com. You can go on the web. You can go on 104.3 Moody Radio, 88.1. You can listen to praise worship. You can listen, you know, we'll give you any kind of study. We've got Bible studies all during the week. You guys have a tremendous opportunity to grow. He's gifted you with that. What are we doing it with it? What are you doing with it? What am I doing with it? Are we showing up, you know, for a Bible study, a kid's Bible study, teen Bible study, children's Bible study, and just winging it? I hope not. God's saying, I've gifted you so much. You're going to be judged more strictly. I think, and rightly so. As a pastor, everybody, you know, early on, everybody wanted to be the teacher. I want to be the teacher. I don't want to be the teacher. I don't want the extra pressure. I don't want to. But God says, oh, guess what? I'm gifting you. You're going to be the teacher. Thank you, Lord. Well, you can thank him. And it says you'll be judged more strictly. Now, sometimes that's a negative, right? Because I'm the same as you. There's nothing super special about me. He's the pastor. I'm a person just like you, right? I just love the Lord just like you. I struggle just like you, right? But here's the deal. I've watched somebody make mistakes for years that I've dealt with. This happens many times. And if I make a mistake with my attitude one day or something, it's like, oh my goodness, you'd think I'd killed their whole family. I'm like, you did that 1,000 times I've dealt with you. Yeah, but now that you did it. We have a bigger responsibility if you're teaching up here. When anybody who teaches here, I tell them they have to listen to hours worth of teachings every time. Or read commentaries every time. Pray. They have to do that. Now, whether they do or not, I don't know. But there's a greater responsibility. To much is given, much will be required. It says we all stumble in many ways, and that's true, right? You're never going to be perfect, right, on this earth, but you're to be becoming perfect, right? That's the goal, right? We're never going to be sinless, but we want to sin less and less. Does that make sense? It says, if anyone is never at fault in what he says, that's the litmus test, I guess. He's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. You can tell a lot about a person by what they say or what they don't say. It reveals a ton about people. You could see, wonderful guy, wonderful girl, looked all beautiful, wonderful, or handsome, or whatever you want to say, looks so nice. And then you hear them talk, and you're like, oh, okay. I feel like I need a shower or something. What comes out of the mouth is just revealing of the heart. But if you learn to control the tongue, and we can't do that without the Holy Spirit, you have to ask the Lord, please help me with my tongue, right? When you get angry, when you get tired, or if your background, like we're Italians, right? Let me tell you, it's very easy. Well, you're from Jersey. This is how we talk, you know? For some of us, that's what we grew up with. But you know what? You have a new heart and a new spirit in you. And God can lead you in a different direction where you can hold that in check and work on that. So this is what it says. I love some of these scripture verses because the Bible talks so much about the tongue and it's so difficult. But Proverbs 11:9 in the New Living Translation says, with their words, the godless destroy their friends. I used to do that all the time. Honestly, I remember people saying, you are the funniest guy I have ever seen. And I was, because I would use somebody and cut them down for my own advantage. But, not all the time, but just when I wanted to make myself look good. That's how I would, you know. But Knowledge will rescue the righteous. God is giving you this knowledge. He's giving you the keys to the kingdom. He's given you the Holy Spirit. He's given you his word. You can hide it in your heart, make it a part of who you are so that you won't sin against him, or you can reject it. It's your choice. He's given it to you. He's going to rescue you by this. Listen, you're going to find out the tongue will set the whole course of your life one way or another. The Bible even says if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart and raise him from the dead, we will be saved. Right? Even starts there. Listen to this. As Christians, Colossians 4:6 says, hey, let your conversations always be filled with grace, seasoned with salt. It's a preservative. So that you may know how to answer everyone. We can talk like the world does. You can make the crude jokes. You can make, you know what I'm saying? You work with the construction. Listen, you don't have to do that. Our conversation should be full of grace. Now, maybe you have never talked that way. But now God's saying, now you can. And now I want you to work on it. He says this in Proverbs 17:27, a truly wise person will use few words. A person with understanding is even-tempered. That's two things that I need to work on. The Lord's working on with me. And then Proverbs 17:28 says, even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and the discerning if they hold their tongues. What's that Mark Twain saying? It's better to be silent and to be thought of a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
Yes.
Right? You remember that? So there's a lot that speaks about the tongue. Now, there's one that I really like, and it's this one. I mean, I like them all, of course. But my mom, bless her heart, we lived in the south side of Chicago. And the south side of Chicago is pretty rough. Okay, we were very blue-collarish. And we had this one family, okay? This family, now hopefully, maybe I'll get to meet them someday. Even the name should tell you. They're called the Guidos. Now, even that name, the Guidos. You know what I'm saying. They're the family. They're the neighborhood. That was the drug house. You know, the whole bunch of brothers, you know, been in prison, juvie. You know, they were the Guidos. And they had the younger brothers as it trickled down the line. And, you know, this is not against anything bad against failing, but they had failed like four grades in a row. They've been kept back. So, you know, to all of us kids on our block that were entering this, whatever, third, fourth, they were monsters. You know, think about 4-year difference. You know, these guys, and they would just verbally, you know, kind of beat you, steal your lunch money, cut you down. It was a normal thing. So I you got to the point to where all the kids in our neighborhood, we just couldn't go. And I just remember as a little kid, I'm like, man, I don't want to go to school. I'll do anything. I'm sick. I'm tired. Anything to get out of it. Right? You just don't want to be verbally harassed And my mom, bless her heart, I think she said this. You guys might remember this saying, right? She said to me, you just go up to them next time that they're saying this. She was such a sweetheart, you know. And she looked me right in the eye and said, you just tell them. I just remember it being in her bedroom. You just tell them, you know, I'm in tears. I'm like, I don't want to go. You don't understand what it's like. These behemoths are just, you know, tattooed at like 11, you know. I'm not kidding you. They're like, it's just like, who are these people, you know? Just got out of prison, you know. Anyway, and she goes, you know what? You just tell them sticks and stones may break my bones, but names may never hurt me. That's what I thought in my head right there. Now listen, my mom is a wonderful, amazing, super sweet lady. But it was at that point where I looked at my sweet, loving mother, who was trying to empower me psychologically somehow, you know, and I thought, you are absolutely clueless about the situation. You've not listened to anything I said. Let me tell you, if I would have said this to the Guidos, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Let me tell you what they would have done. They would have taken sticks and stones. They would have broken my bones. Then they would have verbally berated me and laughed on the way out. So if you've lived on planet Earth, you know that that statement, as nice as you want to make that sound, is not real. Words are very damaging. Can we just be honest? They hurt. If somebody comes and breaks my hand, that causes a lot of pain. But it heals, right? In fact, sometimes the bones actually, they say, become stronger sometimes not, but sometimes it does. Let me tell you something. When somebody uses those words, right, that can damage you in ways that last a long, long time. We counsel people all the time here, Gary and I. And I'll be honest, most of the time, it's because of the tongue. Could be husband, wife, could be kids, could be old family issues. I mean, people 50 years ago, things that were said to them 50, 60 years ago are still shaping their life. And they don't have freedom from it. Listen, these things are powerful. Proverbs 18:21 says, this is the NIV, the tongue has the power and life of death, life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I really like how the Message actually says it. I think it says it even better, at least the way I like it. It says, words kill, words give life. They're either going to be poison or they're going to be fruit. You choose. Now listen, if you're not a believer here today, you're going to give in to your bad attitude. You're going to be tired, angry, ticked off. But if you're a believer, you can keep your mouth shut. Yes, you can. But you don't understand, Pastor Darren. Oh, I do understand. Well, you know, you could be yelling at your husband, you know, oh yeah, you know, the phone rings, the cell phone rings. Hello. You could control it there. Somebody's at the door. Yes, hi. Right? Right? So don't tell me you can't. With God's help, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to stumble. But if this is, you have to be careful, especially now that you are a believer in Jesus Christ, right? More so, people are going to be looking out of what comes out of your mouth and the actions that come out of your being. Does that make sense? So much more, we have to align that with what Christ says and use self-control. It's fruit of the Spirit. Yes. Go. Can we give you the mic there?
There's a saying, I guess, or my mother said many, many years ago, stop and think for about 10 seconds before you speak.
And I think that's
a good
idea.
Does control a lot. Doesn't always work, but you try.
I think that's a good idea. Good. Who else? Somebody else had a question? Mama Hetherington? Okay.
Do you have a comment?
If I give me an opportunity.
Yeah. Well, the Lord spoke the world into being, mm-hmm. and then God created us in his image.
Yes.
And I think that goes to the fact that we are creative beings, and the words that we speak have a creative force, you know, for good or evil, just mm-hmm. the way he spoke the world into being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It says this, and I don't know if you guys, old radio shows, and I don't know if maybe you guys don't even remember this. So I'm like talking to who knows who. When I say Paul Harvey, raise your hand if you know who he is. Oh, like half of you. Wow. What'd you say?
Good day.
Yes, Paul. Okay, so Paul Harvey, he was like a radio host. What would you call him?
Commentator.
That's probably better. Okay, right. At one point, I mean, before he retired, he had like 22 million people listen to him every week. And he did this show that I loved called, I don't know what it was called actually. The Rest of the Story. That's what it's called. Absolutely. So it's called The Rest of the Story. And what he'd do is he'd give some sort of history lesson, okay? And you'd kind of be trying to figure out, he'd be sharing the past and history, and you're trying to figure out, what is he talking about? And then at the end, he'd kind of keep you hanging then, and he'd say, and that was George Washington. Now you know the rest of the story. Or that was the beginning of World War II. And now you know. So he would do this thing. He would always end it with the rest of the story. So there's a little story that I want you to hear that kind of illustrates to me the power that the tongue can have. And he shared this. And this is one of his stories, the rest of the story. Okay, so I'm just going to read it to you. It says, in 1899, four newspaper reporters from Denver, Colorado, sat down, set out to tear down the Great Wall of China. It says, and they almost succeeded, literally. Here's what they did. The four men, by chance, one Saturday night, met in a Denver railroad depot. There are four guys. Their names were Al Stevens, Jack Tornay,
John Lewis, and Hal Wilshire, and they represented the four Denver papers, the Post, the Times, the Republican, and the Rocky Mountain News. Okay, that was the big, there was no iPads or iPhones, or that was how you got your news. Okay, each of these guys, their head reporters, had been sent by their representative, their editor, to dig up a story, any story, for the Sunday edition. So the reporters were in the railroad station hoping to snag a visiting celebrity or someone who had happened to arrive that evening on a train. But none arrived that evening, by train or otherwise, and the reporters started commiserating. For them, no news was bad news. And all of them were facing empty-handed returns to their editor at the city desk. So Al declared, I don't know what to do. I got to hand in something. I'm going to make up a story. And the other three laughed. And then somebody suggested they all walk over to the Oxford Hotel and have a beer. And so they did. Jack said after he was having a beer, you know what, Al, I like your idea about faking a story. Why didn't each of them fake a story and get off the hook? This is the big Sunday edition. John said Jack was thinking too small. Four half-baked stories didn't cut it. What they needed was a real whopper of a story that they could all use. And so they had another round of beers. A phony domestic story they thought about would be too easy to check out to see that it's not true, right? So they said that they had to do something that was more foreign or international, so it would be difficult to verify. And so they thought China was distant enough, and so they agreed they would write about China. But what to write about? John leaned forward, gesturing dramatically in the dim light of a barroom, and try this one on, he said. A group of American engineers stopping over in Denver en route to China. Okay? And he said, the Chinese government is making plans to demolish the Great Wall, and our engineers are bidding on the job. Well, Harold was skeptical. He goes, why would the Chinese want to destroy their greatest wall, their greatest monument, national monument in China? And then John thought for a moment. They're tearing down the ancient boundaries that symbolize international goodwill and to welcome foreigners and to welcome foreign trade. Another round of beers went around. By 11 p.m., the four reporters had worked out the details of their preposterous story. After leaving the Oxford Bar, they would go over to the Windsor Hotel. They would sign four fictitious names in the hotel register. They would instruct the desk clerk and paid him off to tell anyone who asked that four New Yorkers arrived that evening and had been interviewed by the reporters, and they had left early the next morning for California. Now, the Denver newspapers all carried the story. They got away with it. All four of them, front page editions. In fact, the Times headline that Sunday read, "The Great Wall... The Great Chinese Wall doomed. Peking seeks world trade." They thought that they got away with it. Smashing headlines. Of course, the story was phony. It was a fabrication concocted by these four newsmen in a hotel bar. But the story was taken seriously, and it was actually picked up and expanded by newspapers in the eastern U.S. and then by newspapers all abroad. Now, when the Chinese themselves learned that Americans were sending a demolitions crew to tear down their greatest national monument, most were indignant, and even more were enraged. Particularly incensed was a secret society, a volatile group of Chinese who were already wary of all the foreign intervention in China. They, inspired by this story, exploded and rampaged against the foreign embassies in Peking, and they slaughtered about 250 missionaries across China, most of them Christian missionaries, slaughtered them. In the 2 months that followed, six countries brought in about 12,000 troops into China. They invaded China with the purpose of protecting their own countrymen. The bloodshed which followed was so immense, with more than 100,000 civilians losing their lives. Most of them were Chinese Christians that had given their life to the Lord because of these missionaries. 100,000 people. The bloodshed that followed, sparked by this journalistic hoax, invented in a barroom in Denver, became the white hot international rebellion known to every high school history student as the Boxer Rebellion. And now you know the rest of the story. Now, I did a little bit more research, okay, and all that, though that story is true, there are other, of course, you know, factors, many other factors that go into that, but that was just a match that started a forest fire that led to 100,000 people dying. Now, James understands the power of the tongue too as we're going through this. You can tear down nations, you can tear down leaders, you can tear down individuals, you can tear down your wife, you can tear down your husband, you can tear down your dad, you can tear down your mom, you tear down your school, your pastor, you can do all that, your boss. Or God can use that same tongue so it can flow like living water. And that can encourage, that can speak truth into people's lives, that can bless. What a difference the tongue can make to either rip somebody down or to clean and refresh and encourage somebody. You can make it toxic waste that comes out of your mouth, and that's the norm for you. Or you can make it to where, you know what? When people see you, you know what? They're blessed by it most of the time. Thank you, Lord. I can't wait to see. Delaney, I can't wait to see. I just know she's going to bless me in some way. Hey. Or you could be like, oh, there comes. No, I'm picking you, Stan, because I know. Just, there's nothing. Here comes Stanley. Great. What is he going to complain about today? Nate doing this, pastor doing this, oh, my wife doing this, my kids. What comes out of your mouth as a Christian is critical. Now, let's read this if I can, and we'll keep going. He uses two illustrations, James does, in James chapter 3. All right, I don't even know if I have more slides. Hold on a second. My wife was supposed to print out slides, but she forgot, I think. She's so amazing most of the time. Life and death, power of the tongue. So here's the two analogies. Okay, so let's read it. Look at verse 3 with me, 3 and 4, okay? Two analogies in our text to describe the power of the tongue. This is probably the best examples, okay? The first example he uses to describe the power of the human tongue is a bit in a horse's mouth. Listen to this. Verse 3. When we put bits in the horses in the mouths of horses to obey us, to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. So think about this. A horse is a powerful animal, right? Okay, now we have like 200, 300 horsepower engines. But back then, a one horsepower engine, that's was it. And that's how actually we gauge strength and of our mechanical engines today in horsepower. A horse is a powerful animal. Now this is a Clydesdale. I don't know if you can see the picture, if you can hit the light real quick, Chris. All right, that's a Clydesdale. Okay, you can see how big these horses are. Okay, they can pull these Clydesdales a ton, literally a ton, without breaking a sweat. Okay, they are powerful, powerful animals. Okay, a quarter horse, if you've ever seen that, they could ride up to about 55, 60 miles an hour in a full gallop with someone on their back. In 2004, in the Athens Olympics, a guy, I don't remember his name, but anyway, you know that clean and jerk, you know, where they, these big, like, you know, meat bags, they come up there, they come up and they're like, and then they're like, and they, you know, clean and jerk, is that what it's called? I don't know how exactly how you do it. But anyway, they get this weight over their head. So like 582 pounds, and their arms are shaking. They got to hold it for like, I don't know, 10 seconds, and then boom, they drop it. Let me tell you, a quarter horse could have a 500 pound on their back and almost walk effortlessly for hours. So horses are strong animals, yet you could get little Ronnie here, no offense intended, little Ronnie could control that massive beast just by that bit. And that horse would go wherever she wanted it to go. And so too, a little tongue can control the direction of a person's life. Think about that. Think about your words and the power you have, especially as a Christian. It says that you are Christ's ambassador. That means if you are a professing Christian, I want to see what you do. I want to listen to what you say. I want to know if it's real. Because I would react this way. Are you going to react this way? I know what would come out of my mouth is what's going to come out of your mouth. Now, again, everybody slips, but what's the norm for you? Think about how one word can change a life and a direction, just like the bit in a horse's mouth. What if I said to you, if you don't believe me, all right, that words can change a person's life, think about this for a minute. Think about just the words, I do. If any of you have gotten married before, you know that saying I do is going to change the course and the direction of your entire life. Is that not correct? Absolutely. How about if somebody said, if you're up before a judge and a jury, and somebody says, you know what? Somebody says, guilty. One word. Let me tell you, that can change the entire direction of your life. It will never be the same. If you have kids, too, same thing. Those things are going to change your life forever. If somebody said to you, it's a boy or it's a girl, let me tell you, if you've never had a kid before, change your life forever, ever, 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 ever. That was for dramatic effect, of course. There's tremendous power to encourage or to destroy, to inspire or to damage someone. Look at James in chapter 3, verse 4. Actually, let me give you two Proverbs real quickly. Okay? Listen. Proverbs 10:19 says this. And it says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Bridle it. Listen, can I tell you, if you don't know what to do in a situation and somebody's coming at you, okay, I'm just going to go for a marriage situation because that's easy for me. That's where I can lose it the most, okay? Let's just say, yeah, so it's okay.
I
didn't even notice. Yes, please.
We do have a little issue going on.
Okay.
Bobby is going to be going with the ambulance right now.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
I don't know
if
we want to pray for her or... She's having some kind of gastrointestinal issues going on. So
yes.
I just figured everybody's kind of hearing
what's
rumbling.
Going on back there?
So just an FYI.
Okay, I'm so oblivious. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't even realize. Would you mind just praying? Thank you, Betty. Thank you for taking care. I know Betty's a nurse. Would you take a minute? Can we just all just stop what we're doing and let's just pray for her right now?
Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can call upon the name of the Lord at any time and that you are quickly here to hear us, Father. And we just lift up Bobby in Jesus' name, whatever's going on, Lord. We don't know anything, but we know that you know. And we just dispatch right now your angels to minister life and health and wholeness in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. We just release your mighty working power. You are a miracle working God, Father. So whatever the issue is going on, Lord, I just ask that you would touch her body. I pray peace upon her mind and peace upon Chantel right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you that this day we will witness a miracle, Father God.
Thank you, Lord.
And all for your glory, God, to minister to us, to minister to the EMS, Father God, just to minister to each and every person that's involved in this situation. We just release your power in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, guys. Thank you. What an awesome church. I just love that we would just stop and just pray for somebody like that right now. So please keep them in your prayers if you would. I know we've got multiple nurses here, and I know that they're out there, thank God. So I know that they're going to be taken care of, but I appreciate your prayers and stopping and praying for her. And then also, if you would continue to do that even after, as the ambulance comes, and just, I'm fighting not going out there myself right now, but I know that there's a bunch of people back there.
I'm okay with you going.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. All right. So, all right, I'm going to continue on. Sorry, I got a little derailed there, so I got to get back on track. I was just, and what I was doing right there, I was just asking, Lord, would you like me, what would you like me to do? Would you like me to continue? Would you like me to stop? Would you like me to, so I'm just trying to be obedient. So that's why there was a pause there. If any of you are wondering what I was doing right there, I was just praying, asking the Lord what to do next. So in James chapter 3 and 4, he gives us a second illustration and a picture of the tongue in a life. And it says this. It says, take ships, for example, although they are so large and driven by strong winds, this is in verse 4 of James 3, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Now, does everybody know what a rudder is on a ship? Yes. That little, I don't know, what do you call that thing, like a flap or, you know, in the back of the, it's like a rudder. Everybody's a comedian. Okay, yes, it's like a rudder. It's like a little flap in the back and it steers the whole vessel. Okay, so like the tiny bit in a horse's mouth, like a rudder is going to steer this entire massive ship. It weighs only a fraction of the weight of the ship, yet it's going to steer anything from a small fishing boat to a nuclear aircraft carrier. This little rudder is going to steer where it wants to go. Okay, I'm going to say it now. Okay, just like in the last example, where words are many, sin is not absent, okay, but he who holds his tongue is wise. When we get in these situations or we get in these fights, sorry, that's what I was going, it's very easy to get caught up in the spur of the moment or in the heat of the moment. Do you know what I mean? Like when your husband goes, nah, 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 well, oh yeah, well, nah, 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 right back. Oh, well, then I'm going to top that and blah, 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 blah. Do you know what I'm trying to say? It's very easy for us to get caught up in that whole situation. If you're having a fight, and sometimes it's not even what you say. Sometimes it's the content, too. Sometimes it's the tone. And so sometimes it would be like if you are, for example, if my wife says, if I'm heading out the door, we've had a fight. Where are you going? Now, her words, the content is right, isn't it? Mm-hmm. All I said is, where are you going? But the tone was, where are you going? Yeah. And I say, I'm going, I'm out of here. I'm going for a walk. Well, okay, what I said, is there anything wrong with the content? But the tone is all ungodly, isn't it? I'm out here, I'm going for a walk, and now, by my actions, I slam the door, and that's just to say, even though I'm not using words, and you're lucky if I come back today. It's dumb, right? It's terrible. So listen, just as bad as that can be, the opposite is also true. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. When you say just the right words to people at just the right time. Now, if you force it, you can't do that because it'll come off. It won't be right. But if it's sincere, it's like apples of gold in settings of silver. It is so valuable. And it was presented to you. Listen, when you're hurting, when you're down, and somebody brings you something, just a little bit of a word of encouragement, it can change the whole tune of everything and everywhere you're going. Isn't that true? You can be that to someone else, especially if you're bringing Jesus. Especially if you're bringing Jesus. That boat that I was telling you about, that rudder, this is the German battleship Bismarck. At the time, in 1939, it was like the most amazing armored battleship ever created in the history of the world, okay? And it only lasted, I think it was about a year, 8 months to about a year and a half, and it was destroyed. And you want to know why it was destroyed? Because a torpedo accidentally hit the rudder of that ship. And that Bismarck, that German Bismarck ship, then because the rudder, even though it was armored and it was gunned to the teeth, all it could do was go around in circles. And so all they did was eventually completely surround it and blow the snot out of it, and then down it goes. That's very sad. And I think we have to ask too, you know, are we driving around in circles in our life? Listen, are you kind of stuck like that? Is the way that you're speaking to people or about people, is that just how you do it? I just gossip. Are you gossipy? Are you building up others or are you tearing them down? Is really, are you known as the person that builds others up or the ones that tears them down? Those words are like apples of gold in settings of silver. Even jokes, even all that kind of stuff. I'm going to wait to say it. Just want to make sure she's okay, if you don't mind. Yes, I'm sorry, Stanley. We're going to give you my...
They last for a lifetime.
Some of those words do.
Some words do. I heard a thank you from somebody that I'd known for just about practically all my life. You know, and man, that was so cool of you to say that to me years and years ago. And I'm like, man, that was like 30 years ago.
Yes.
We were like 15 years old.
Yes.
So some words, the power of persuasion in words is very powerful.
Yes.
As far as what direction you can take somebody, like you're saying, the attitude that we're that we have, we can take them in a different direction with power of persuasion. I mean, you know what I mean? We have to be careful of that persuasion because also, I mean, really, if we're a part of Christ, you know, he's going to say, hey, you could have said, a different thing.
Yes.
And persuade that person to accomplish the Lord's will.
Yes.
Or we could, you know, we Absolutely. Could have empowered them to do something else.
Your mouth is set up with something really special, okay? We're going to talk about taming the tongue in just a moment here. And about taming the tongue. But your mouth, God has set it up where, you know what? It has its own cage. Your mouth has its own cage. Can I tell you what you can do? You can just do this. Can I just be honest? Half of your arguments that you get in with your wife, your husband, your kids, your boss, could just stop if you use self-control. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I get in trouble, I don't use the self-control. Now, because I am a Christian, that means I have to go back, humble myself before them. I was with my two kids yesterday, and I took them to breakfast, and we had a nice little pan, had a great time, and then they got in this dumb big fight, and so now, what I said to them on the way home was absolutely 100% correct. The way that I said it was absolutely 100% wrong, right? I used my mouth in an improper way, so I had to bring them in, humble myself. Okay, guys, what I said was wrong. Dad, you were absolutely right in what you said. You know what? But how Dad communicated that. Listen, they don't need, I mean, there are times when I could rebuke somebody or correct, but they don't need, you know, a Marine sergeant, you know, continually in there. That's not right. And so I had to ask, Lord, you know, will you guys please forgive me? Yes, what Daddy said was right, but and how he said it was completely wrong. That was damaging, and I don't want them to remember their daddy with that. So I have to ask for your forgiveness. Will you please forgive me for that, for the how I said things, not what I said, but how I said it. And so I just want to encourage you guys as Christians to make sure that if you're not speaking correctly, you know what? There's nothing wrong with just admitting it. Especially guys, that's a strong man. A wimpy man never says he's sorry. That's how I used to live most of my life. I wouldn't say sorry for anybody. Now I'm going to ask for forgiveness. Humble myself, even as an example for your kids or your husband or your wife. Usually I have to be the first one. I want to be, not always, but I want to be the first one to ask forgiveness of my wife and use my tongue to bring healing, right? But God has given you this gift. You can shut your mouth half the time. Just don't speak. Give it up to the Lord. He says, cast your burdens on me because I care for you. You don't have to dump it all. Well, God's gifted me with boldness, Pastor. I just had to let it out. No, you do not. All right, well, what we're going to do is we're going to pray, and I'm just going to make sure that Bobby gets off okay. I'm so sorry. I mean no disrespect to anybody here, but we're just going to pray, and I'm just going to actually finish this up next week, okay? So let's do that, okay? I just want to say goodbye to her and make sure she's okay as she goes, okay? So just letting everybody know, okay? Father, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for this group, Lord. Thank you for your word that doesn't return void. Pray, Lord, you just give Bobby your peace right now, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for such a great body of believers, Lord. Everybody just praying for her and checking on her and caring about her, Lord. We ask even as they're taking her out today, Lord, that you would just be with her, Lord God, and that you would encourage her, Lord God, in her heart. Lord, I just ask that you'd even be with the paramedics, Lord, as they're taking good care of her right now, Lord God, and that you would make sure that they get wherever she needs to go safely and securely, Lord God. And that you'd be with her, even guide the doctors and nurses' hands so that they would use their words kindly and patiently, Lord. So we pray for a blessing right now over this body, Lord God, right now, believers, Lord God, that you would help and remind us this week how to use our tongue and also bless Bobby as well. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.